What would you hope like then after you had the operation?
Well, recuperation takes a long time. They give you 5 years thinking, you know, if it's going to recur or not. I went along great for those 5 years, and then I began having vomiting spells, one thing or another. And it went. I went to various doctors. I went to the White Memorial Clinic up in East Los Angeles. I went to a doctor down here by St. Mary's and went to various clinic things. And my pain was one spot only. But I'd promise them, I could, if I eat anything solid. For several years I lived more or less on broth, or liquids, you know. And I got really down, and I went to this other doctor that had big surgery next to me, found a pinprick, he said it was causing me. So, see, I had to have radiology after the cancer. They didn't want to acknowledge in those days that radiology was harming. But they know that now they know. But at that time, when we got back home that year, that we stayed back there, we got first vomiting spell. My husband said he hauled a corpse across country. So when we got to our hometown, I went to our little doctor, Ben Brown, to him, family doctor. And I asked him if it was possible that radiology could injure your intestines. He looked me square in the eye and he said it was very possible. He says doctors don't want to admit it. But it's very possible.
You didn't have any radiation treatments all along?
No, you only get so many radiation treatments in the beginning, you know. I think I had, I can't tell you how many. No, at one time I knew, I'd look it up, I'd have a record of somewhere, but I don't know. But you don't get that many. But you get so many on the front and so many on the back, or wherever the cancer part was. And what happened, I got just a little bit too much, and my intestines were getting normal. Got down about the size of that pencil, and Snow White. All the life was gone out of them. And the opening was no bigger than the ballpoint pen opening. And I swallowed, somehow or another, a pinprick. Or an apricot prick, you know, so you had apricots, you know. And that prick couldn't get through that little opening. And it won't dissolve, it won't go away. And x-rays were not sick. To the column. So yes, they went in there, that's why they couldn't find them. But when they did finally locate someone, then they decided they would operate. And that's when they found this pinprick. And the doctor took the layman and he said, it had this funny lump in it. And they didn't know what it was. They took the knife and opened it and here laid this pinprick. Now this doctor has this pinprick yet in a bottle of formaldehyde up at UCLA. Makes lectures on it. Young students to prove that there is plain old that people just go to a doctor to be going to a doctor. Well, I didn't go to a doctor just to be going to a doctor, I was sick. And that's what they said, you have to be careful about that. So sometimes they aren't sick and sometimes we've got several down to our office who give dummy pills to you. They think they're getting along so fine on these dummy pills. Isn't that amazing? But a dummy pill wouldn't do me anything. In fact, nothing did me any good until it cut it out. So I had 2 resections, one at the lower bowel and one off the duodenum at the stomach. Man, I've been fine ever since.
What kind of activities did you do during those years?
Are you
on this? No, after you felt better. When you weren't
wanting anymore,
before you went back to
work? Oh, I just did yard work, the flowers, crochet, milk, keep up house, was, you know, everything that had to be done in the house. I didn't hire help in those days, I did it myself. Now I have to hire it then. But I still do more or less the same thing as, you know, crochet, milk, whatever. Some housework, plants, watering. I got plants you wouldn't believe that back then. You know, to go out and take a look. But no, nothing different in activity. I don't do as much church work as I used to, because I figure that in my younger days I did my share, and as you kind of get up in the days, I think it's time younger than there.
You still go to church?
Oh, sure. I always did. But now, because my husband's not here, but we, so in the neighborhood around, I gathered friends, you know, and since Evelyn's not here, she goes with her sister, and they're going to move back to South Dakota. But, my little neighbor down here, and then we pick up a pickle lady for her Saturday night to church. Then we splurge. We go to McDonald's for dinner. Every Saturday night is a rule. But that's a must. You have to go to church, you know.
When did your husband pass away?
Well, he passed away the 2nd of November in 1972.
What was that like for you?
Most indescribable. Because he'd always been fairly active around, you know, and he was always, he never ran around any. By the time of evenings, I think they're faster saying whatever, you know. He sat and watched television, smoked cigars, and I'm so saying I wasn't doing something, you know. Need to sleep. He seemed to wake up and he'd say, well, I sure haven't been in something to you tonight. And I said, but I know where you are. This woman next door, you never knew where her husband was. It was 2 o'clock in the morning when he came in. I never encountered that. I never encountered drinking. He'd have a little drink, but he wouldn't get out of line, you know. And there was a number of years that that was awfully hard. And that was before I got sentinel to learn that you could have company by having another widow in your same boots. You could get together and do something, you know. And of course, I went to church and went to activities as much as possible. But it got so we hardly any. We all go out at night. We don't go out at night. Unless it's a group outing. But anyhow, after I fell and broke my back in 76, I think it was. Might have been 77, I'm not sure. And then Miss Evelyn was standing in Roach. She came out over, and she's been with me ever since until she had to be able to come up with her for pension. So then, but we had our evening meal together, and she stayed in her home at night. But she would come here early in the afternoon and do yard work or housework or whatever. And I paid her, you know, and then for a long time she did the cooking and besides all the other work. So I finally was able to get up and around enough. And I decided I had to try to do something. So I got so well, it'd be around 4 o'clock, I think. Well, she had stuff sitting there to fix it, and I could do that. So I got the part of the fixing on this. Well, finally, one out, I gave Miss all the cooking, and still do. And I don't have Evelyn anymore, no, but this little lady down the street, she works, and she's all alone. So she puts so much in the kitty each month, and I do the cooking. I buy the groceries and stuff, unless she decides to get something in the thing. And I do all the cooking. That way, we're not alone.
We eat together.
We eat our evening meal together. So before that, I'd stand up there at the sink and eat a sandwich. Sometimes I might make me a bowl of soup, or I might take my bowl of soup and my sandwich and go and turn the television on and visit with Walter Sunlight. But now, well, too, then I had so much out of sick. I was just sick there, now. Mostly because I wasn't eating right. Now we eat right. One year, 2 years ago, my son-in-law and my daughter was here. And we girls, Mary and Evelyn, we cooked the dinner that night, one night, and my son-in-law stepped back and said, Mom, tell me something. Do you girls eat like this all the time? And we looked at him kind of funny. We didn't have a minute. I said, well, you didn't eat like this. He said, you have all this kind of food, all this? And I said, sure, it's just dinner. And he just took it. They couldn't get over it. Now, we instead of just making a bowl of soup and having that, well, we'd have a regular meal. He said, I understand that. I said, it is. And still do. Like last night, I took the pork steak with salad soup to make the gravy, you know, so it would, and then I just had yams, and we had a salad, and we had, we had a bowl of split pea soup because it didn't want to go away. Tonight we'll have the same thing left over, only we'll have avocado with it tonight. We had slaw last night. But, I mean, we need to get a balanced meal with somebody around. Otherwise, Mary and I, she would go out and work and work and work out in the yard till it was dark, and then she'd come in and she'd make her a bowl of soup and a piece of toast, maybe soft boiled egg. Well, this way we have all this other stuff, see?
What your children are doing now?
Well, starting with the youngest one, she lives out here in Stanton. She has four children, 10 to 21, to the baby. And she has a home pretty full of that, you know. And then the boy, the middle one, he's up in Los Angeles. He works for Prudential Insurance Company. He's a very responsible guy. And he is thinking of retiring after the first of the year. When he'll be 60, he's got hobbies and things, you know, and I think it's a good idea if he does want to. And then my oldest daughter lives in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. She had five sons. And her husband is an engineer. All the boys have, except the youngest one, they've all graduated from LSU. They're all working except the youngest one, and he's in his second year at LSU. And that's the size of them. They're all very happy married.
You get to see them very often?
Oh, yes. I see my son more than I see the girls because, my younger daughter, Shirley, she's been working part-time in the winter time, just to get out of the house more or less, I guess. Get away from 12, 14 loads of washing a day. And then, of course, my son has 7 unit apartments over here, not too far from here, and he has to come down once a week or something like that sometimes. Take care of things there. And the daughter down in Baton Rouge, I was there last winter, and now they've sent me around trip tickets to come this winter. So I'll be down there about a month this year. I have a very lovely three kids. They're just wonderful to me. They didn't want to live with any of them, as long as I can live here by myself.
What do you think about me? When you think about the future?
I don't think about it. I don't worry about that. I know I'm not for this world too many years, but I'm going to live it day by day and get good out of it. I keep myself awfully busy, though. I'm never idle. Unless I don't feel good, and then I'll go there. I don't call that being idle. Now, I know a number of women that absolutely do nothing. They might do a little bit of housework, and then on an evening they sit around and they'll read a book, or they'll read, or watch that idiot box, and haven't accomplished a thing for the day. Not many. I make myself do a lot of things, but I go out and it takes me sometimes an hour, maybe longer, just to water the plants. And then I'm watering other things in the meantime. And of course, I have things in the house. And then right now, I have 2 afghans working on. I'm working on a blouse, knitting a blouse that I was crocheting a blouse that I got sidetracked on because I couldn't get the right measurement. Then I've been making first thing, the little girl said, the little creepy doll said, yes. And I'm not either. I'm busy. I pick up something else to do. I get bored with that, I do something else. Now, I'm not just busy. I don't do a great deal of housework anymore. Just what I have to do, you know. I don't know, when you get old, you don't want to work. It's easy to set and crochet.
What do you do when you're feeling bad?
You're bad.
Oh,
well.
I don't
think you're
sad or...
I'm on the good side. I don't let myself get sad. I don't, you know, I'm not that tight. I know, I went out to my daughter's about 2 weeks ago, my younger daughter's, and I stayed out there in kid fat for a week. 10 years to 21, and who you think give me the worst trouble? The 21-year-old, yes, sir. He thought he was loaded with the guilt, and he wasn't. He found that out right there. Well, anyhow, I was busy out there all the time. But when you get to be 82 years old, you don't want to work. You don't want to do housework or laundry, and I told him I don't do laundry. Well, I said, but I'd fix a meal in the evening. And while I was there, this very dear friend, when I first met her, when I first came to town here, she's 92 years old. And in the past, I would say 3 years, maybe 3 and a half, 4 years, something like that. She has moved 4 times. The beginning, her husband was ill, and so she had 2 sons. They decided that they'd better sell a folks' property and let them move in with them. This was mistake number one. So they did. The husband, the father, he had lived about, not quite a year after all this took place. Then she lived on with the son for a while, and that didn't work out. So she moved up down to a place called Burlington Villa, which is very expensive. And she didn't like the food there and what have you. Well, one of the sons had been in Palm Springs on a job, and he moved back to Long Beach. They bought a house with enough room in it for the mother, so she'd live in. Well, they moved the mother in with them. Now, this is the other son, the first son she moved with, which she couldn't take what was going on there. And that didn't last much more than a year, a little over a year. Then they moved her to someplace else, and that didn't last. Now she's over in what I call it Anaheim, in a very nice senior citizen's place. Hopefully she'll be happy and contented for a while, but I went to see her. She's only about 10 minutes from my daughter. Now you talk about somebody being blue. I couldn't live like that. In fact, they couldn't move me around like that. I'd die. No way could they move me around like that. I'm not the type. She wasn't either. I thought she'd been so unhappy. But she lost 23 pounds. And she didn't know what to do with her pants. There's the elastic in the pants, because button pants, you have to take, rip them apart and do them all over. She didn't know how to do it or what to do with them. So I brought 11 pair home and fixed them for her. And then I went back to see her again, took her out to lunch. She seems a little happier, but now that's what I mean about that. I'm not, to begin with, I couldn't live like that. I suppose that type is what would make you blue. I don't know. Now I have this other friend, she's 86 years old, a crippled woman, you know. Now she keeps saying, aren't you lonesome? Don't you get lonesome? I don't have time to get lonesome. If I think I'm going to, I might get bored doing the same thing, and I'll go cross street and visit the neighbor, or I'll get the car and go somewhere, go shopping to do something. I suppose now she can't drive, she's going to get out of the house unless we take her and her daughter comes in once a week and takes her shopping. I suppose I'd get lunching. But she doesn't do anything with the kid at home. She'll read or watch television. Now that would just bore me to death. And to begin with, there's so few things on television I like. sports. And why I like sports. Well, I like sports. It's interesting. There's a lot of this other stuff that I just don't go for. I don't know. I like to have the news for a little while, then you get tired of that too. That'll make you blue. I'm just the type that I don't get lonesome, I guess. I don't know.
Are you involved in
any
senior
citizens
activities?
When I get old enough, like Bob Hope, I might. No? Now, we have, right here, within walking distance of me, I think less than 3 blocks, they have the Houghton Park facility there. At noon, they serve a lovely dinner, 60 cents. But I never noonday meal. Over a period of years, your husband came home late in the evening for an evening meal. He carried lunch at noon. And I still maintain my evening meal. I don't eat lunch. I mean, I don't even noontime dinner. Now, I have an uncle, he's 86 years old, and he comes over here almost every Thursday. They have, I don't know what it is in North, they have somebody that plays music anyhow, and they play waltzes and two-steps, and he sings things. And he does, too. He gets out there and dances and so on. He wants to know why I don't come over there. Well, Thursday's my day, I get to office. So that's that. Then we had a senior citizen deal at our church. And that's on a Thursday. That's when I get old enough when I say that to you.
When you get old enough to retire.
Yeah, that's Bob Hope's stuff. That kid asked him when he's going to retire. When he gets old enough, he'll think about it.
Other things about your life that you have to do over that you would change?
No. Not anything that I had control over. Things that I had no control over in my younger life, yes. There's been a lot of things I would have liked, but I had no control over that. But I do have control over my destiny as of now, I think. And the Lord lets me live, gives me strength to keep going. Nothing that I know, yeah, I've seen. I'm a contented type of person. I don't know why. Like I told my granddaughter a while back, she was being naughty about something, and I told her, I said, you don't even like yourself. You have to learn to like yourself before you're happy. And I suppose that, I think that's true. If you're unhappy within yourself about something, you can't be happy. Fortunately, I have enough to live on that I don't have to worry constantly. Like, I think if I had to worry constantly about how I was going to have enough money to get by for, I'd probably be unhappy. But I should make myself live within what I have. So that's mostly awfully hard, like some senior citizens where they weren't being raised on so high. And I think that's a mistake a lot of older people make. If they lose a mate, they sell a house, either now they got a rent, or they'll move into a mobile home, and then that don't work out so good, and they're unhappy. Everything's wrong. And I know a friend of mine kept telling me I should sell this and get a mobile home where I didn't have any yard work or any of that stuff. I didn't want to. I was content here. And I said to my son, do you think I'm wrong? He said, no, you're not wrong. But he's awful good. He comes down with our neat little things around the house first. I leave him a note on the table, and he takes care of mine with him, Now, I think it was a very terrible mistake for me to ever have moved into a solely moved in an apartment. I would have really been unhappy. This way I'm within my surroundings that I like. And as long as I can keep my head above water, I'm going to stay fit.
If you could sign up in your own mind, what you experience as everything in life meant to you, what would you say?
Well, I don't think I quite understand you yet,
I'm wondering if it affected your life at all, and if it did, in what way?
Well, the only thing that I can think of is the fact that I didn't think they treated me quite right over that accident thing, you know, and that. And if I'd have known then what I know today, how they go about getting ill, I probably could have caused them an awful lot of trouble about it, you know. Like today, they just drop and create strikes and stuff over these timings, you know. But I never was going to do something like that.
Do you think your life would have been different if you had not
risked it? Aside from probably what the illness caused, I know. I'm basically me, and I think that you mellow as life goes on, you know, you don't, like somebody said, why don't you do this, and I said, you know something, when I could have done it and wanted to do it, I didn't have the money to do it, furthermore, I had responsibilities that you had to stay, you know, you couldn't just get up and walk away from them. Now, when I went out and stayed that week at my daughter's, and they went to Hawaii, instead of my staying at their house, I could have gone with them to Hawaii, but I know I couldn't take it because of my age and my state of health. I mean, I couldn't walk that much and get around and all. Now, that's the only thing that I can think different. It would be if it's just like taking this trip to Baton Rouge. I'd prefer not to do it because I could stay at home being an old lady. But this way, they won't let me. So, I don't know that basically I would have been any different. But I know, I had a cousin visiting here a couple of weeks ago, she's not as old as I am by any means, but she has always been a beauty operator. And she's traveled an awful lot, you know, but she was a lot younger than I am. If I'd her age, I'd get out and do what she's doing too. But when you really want to do those things, or you see, and you're not able, you know. That's what I told my daughter here a couple of weeks ago. She said, not a week ago, I just can't afford to take it off now. I said, you just can't afford not to. Don't wait till you get in my shoes, then you're right. I want to, but I can't. I know I can't. And it's like her husband, there was another couple went with him just for the trip. He went on convincing her husband of how to come to you now, and so of course she had to go on the way, but he showed his pictures and didn't laugh about it, but her husband took of her and this other lady, they went shopping, and the boys caught up with him later on for something after he could go there. And the picture is them two looking in the window and laughing in a shop window. That's how they spent the time, you know. That's what they spent the